Good morning. Happy Easter, everybody. Boy, I tell you what, it is turning into an absolutely gorgeous day, isn't it? Amazing, amazing. You know, I have a story here that I'd like to start with this morning, and listen real careful. I'm going to come back to it at the end of the message today. A sparrow looked at a dove and asked him this question. How much does a single snowflake weigh? The dove answered, nothing more than nothing. The sparrow told this story. Last week, appropriately so, I may add, when the snow was softly falling, I was nestled in a fir tree's branch as close to the trunk of that tree as I could get. As I watched the snow fall from my hiding place, I began to count the snowflakes as they landed on the branch. I counted and counted until I came to 3,493,721. Then, the sparrow said, one more snowflake fell, nothing more than nothing, and the whole branch broke off and tumbled to the ground. With that, the sparrow flew away, and the dove thought and thought, nothing more than nothing. A single snowflake made a difference in the sparrow's story. Nothing more than nothing. So this scripture that Justin read for us today, whoever has studied the book of Esther? Anyone? Yeah, it's one of those books that doesn't get out very often. And it is, you know, a story about a woman who was a Jew called Esther, obviously. And it was written around the 5th century B.C. during the fancy word is the Jewish diaspora, which essentially means that they had been spread out throughout the Persian Empire, the Jews had. And they were just put as slaves, some were forced to marry, etc., etc. All these things were happening as during the reign, and forgive me if I pronounce this incorrectly, but Ahasuerus was the king. Esther's story begins when the king called Queen Vashti, and the queen refused to come to him. Now, something you have to understand back in these days, or at least in this empire, if the king calls you and you don't come, that is not good, especially when you're the queen or someone else in his court. And I guess the same is true in opposite. If you show up in his court without being summoned, that is equally bad, as we will learn later. But anyway, because of this, Queen Vashti was banished, and the king began looking for a new queen from every town in its kingdom. And in comes a new character in the story. His name is Mordecai. And he is a Jew. He's actually a cousin and legal guardian of Esther. And he talked to Esther one day, and he said, you know what? You are beautiful. You need, when the king comes through our community, you need to stand up as one of the ladies to possibly join his court. And when that day came, this young lady did stand up, and she was chosen as part of his court. And eventually, she actually pleased the king so much that she became queen. Queen Esther was her name. Now, as time passed, it came to the king's attention that Mordecai, back to Mordecai now, he refused to bow to the king, and as a Jew, he condemned all the Jews to death. Now, you probably have stories ringing through, Old Testament stories ringing through your head of Jews who have refused to bow down to their king, and God pulls through in miraculous ways. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego comes to mind quickly in that regard. There are others who are in the same situation. But this time, the Jews didn't seem to be able to be saved. And Mordecai, his refusing to bow down to the king, was the cause of their death. Now, about this time in the story, if you're reading from Esther, you'll find out that Mordecai shows up and he calls on Esther. And he says, you know, Esther, He says, if you keep silent at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter. But you, Esther, and your father's house will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just a time as this. Now think about that for a minute. He is saying to Esther, you know, perhaps you were made queen. Perhaps God made you queen, put you in front of this king, and he made you queen for just a time as this. See, the problem was Esther was afraid to approach the king. Because if she did unannounced, that could be death, right? And so she was afraid to approach the king, but she did. He saw her, and there's this some ceremony that he has a golden staff, and he points it at her, and that gives her permission to approach the throne. And that is what he did for her, and she came forward. And after he recognized her, he said, you can have anything that you ask. You are my queen, right? And of course, you all know what she requested. Anybody want to guess? She was a Jew, right? So anybody want to guess what she requested? Save my people, right? Don't kill my people. I'm a Jew. Think about that news in the king's ears. I am a Jew, and therefore, please do not kill my people. And in essence, Queen Esther saved her people that day. Nothing more than nothing. Now, Mordecai played an important role, didn't he? I mean, think about it. Many of us are placed in situations. You might even say that God placed you there. And you may not have the guts to do what you need to do or whatever. And there's some person that maybe rings through your head that says, hey, you know what? Maybe you were put right here today to do this very thing. I don't know, maybe you have a person that rings through your head whenever you're trying to make a difficult decision. Someone that has been supportive to you and kept you within God's call in your life. And in this case, Mordecai played a very important role in her life because he reminded Esther that God may have put her in that place at that time just for just such a time as this. Think about that for a moment. God may have put her and given her strength and a word just at the right time, just at the right place. However, even though Mordecai was an important player in this story, Esther still had to step out, didn't she? She still had to step out in faith. And many would have said nothing, but Esther chose to step out and to visit with her king and say, save my people. Now, bringing this closer to home, I have a movie clip that shows someone stepping out as well. And, of course, many of you have heard me before I show a movie clip enough to know that you need to view, parents, you need to view this movie before you let your kids see it. I don't want to take responsibility for that. Anybody here seen The Blind Side? It is a wonderful movie. There are some things you may not want your kids to see, but it is a wonderful movie, so you do need to watch it first. But it's about a family by the name of the Tui family. And a young man, Michael Orr, that most of us probably are familiar with if you think about it. So let's watch this clip real quick.
What is he wearing? It's freezing. What's his name again?
Big Mike.
Where is he going?
Hey, Big Mike. Where are you headed?
Jim.
Go ahead.
Turn around. Big Mike! Stop the car. Big Mike. Hey, my name's Leanne Toohey. My kids go to Wingate. You said you were going to the gym? School gym's closed. Why were you going to the gym? Big Mike, why were you going to the gym?
Because it's warm.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
Seen that look many times. She's about to get her way.
Come on. Come on. SJ, make room. Get inside. Come on.
Where are we going?
Home.
I know, it's my favorite part. It's so cute. How'd the dork do in the school play? Okay. Collins, do you know Big Mike from school?
Yeah, that's what I look like every night. Except I put it on my head. Now, Ginger, I didn't think it was that funny. That's my mother-in-law, so. Leanne and Sean Tui had a choice that night, didn't they? They could have said, hey, Mike, where are you going? I'm going to the gym. Okay, have a good night. See ya. How many times have we done that? They had a choice. And because the Tui family and his hard work, Michael's hard work, Michael went on to be an All-American football player at Ole Miss and was on the dean's list, believe it or not. Now he's gone on to be a great person, a great someone for young guys and young gals to look up to as an NFL football player. Nothing more than nothing. You know, the Tuis could have said, we're nothing more than nothing. We wouldn't make any difference. Later on in the movie, she finds out that he doesn't like to be called Big Mike. And she says, hey, Michael, do you just want to stay with us? And he goes, well, I thought I was. And whenever he said that, you know, and she got him a room, you know, they owned several fast food chains in that community down there. And so she had a bed for him, a dresser for him, his own room. And he just stood there kind of dumbfounded. And she said, what's wrong? And he says, I've never had my own bed before. Nothing more than nothing. You see, today, folks, we have a unique story to tell. We have a God who is the creator of the entire universe, known and unknown. And that God loves you enough that he sent his son for you, so that we would listen to his teachings. And the unfortunate thing is, what God knew all along came true, and that is we would crucify the love that was sent to us as an example. And of course, today, what do we celebrate? That not even death, not sin, can slow Jesus down, right? Death and sin, Jesus is not overcome by death and sin. And God resurrected Jesus from the dead. And that's what we celebrate today. This is what I like to call God's explanation point on the teachings of Jesus, right? The resurrection from the dead. Folks, we have a unique story to share. Now, some of you, you may have heard this story your entire life. And you may be thinking, Eric, you know, yeah, I know it's a big deal, but it's really not a big deal to me. After all, I'm nothing more than nothing. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? You see, God loved you so much that He sent His Son for you. That means you're a lot more than nothing. You are the hope in someone's life. You see, today is a new day. Today is a new beginning for each of us. Today we find hope. Today, folks, we are set free. Are you living as if you are free? No. Are you living as if you're free? Are you living as if you're free? If you're not, you know, say no. If you're living as if you're free, say yeah. Today, folks, God set us free. Today, we have the opportunity to experience this day of celebration for the rest of our lives, even for eternity. All of us who claim that Jesus is the Son of God and Lord of our lives have faith in that fact. You know, I wonder, with what God in Christ did for you in this resurrection, if you might be that one person, that nothing more than nothing, if you hear what I'm saying today, that might make a difference in your world, in your home, today, now. Could that possibly be? Moms, what can you teach your children that no one else can? How many hugs can you give, Mom? Dad, how often can you play catch or checkers or Monopoly? It goes on for days. Or chess. How often, dads, can you listen to your child's latest victory or their current struggle with undivided attention? Husbands, how many acts of kindness can you show your wife? Wives, how many loving touches can you give your husband? You see, you and I can make a difference in Jesus Christ. Amen? God has made it so you and I will make a difference. Now, you have to understand what I'm saying. You will make a difference if you do nothing. But you will make a big difference if you do what God calls you to do. You see, when we're standing in that place that we are called to and we choose to do nothing, that's not good, folks. But when we're standing in that place, that God-ordained place, when the person standing next to you that you work with, maybe that you walk by in the store, needs you and God has placed you there and you say, I'm going to do it, God. Man, that is an amazing moment, folks. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Nothing more than nothing. 100 couples with vibrant, God-honoring marriages could touch and influence 1,000 other couples. Think about that. 10 men who are devoted to their children before their job and before their self could influence 100 more. A handful of women who pray for one another's faithfulness to honor God could change a generation, folks. Nothing more than nothing. How much does a single snowflake weigh? Nothing. More than nothing. Actually, folks, I say more than enough. Amen? We celebrate this day for a reason. We celebrate this day. Don't walk out of this church the same person that you came in as. Walk out a renewed creation. Be in that right place that God has placed you and choose to step out in faith. As Esther did. And if you need a voice of Mordecai, hear my voice ringing through your head. If you're going, oh, I shouldn't do that, hear Eric saying, go for it. That's why God put you here. Go for it. Go for it. Nothing more than nothing. You see, with Jesus, you are more than enough. Go and be that spark. Go and be that change. Go and be the voice of hope in people's lives. You have it. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Believe me, you won't have less. You'll have a lot more than you can handle. You are more than enough. Amen? Let's say that together, except let's say I. I am more than enough. With Jesus, I am more than enough. Say that. Come on, let's say it. With Jesus, I am more than enough. Do you really mean it? Let's say it again. With Jesus, I am more than enough. Whenever you walk out of this place today, I want God to open up your spirit and be aware of the individuals around you. I want God to open up your spirit so that you can understand the need and that you can be in that place, because you know what? God put you in that very place for such a time as this. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise. We celebrate. We celebrate what you did for us this day so many years ago. We give you thanks and praise for Jesus, his life, his birth, his life, his teachings. And even though it's hard, God, we celebrate his death, and we thank you that he was willing to take that step for us. And today, Lord, on Easter morning, on this resurrection day, we celebrate what you did for us by resurrecting him from the dead, by overcoming sin and death, Lord. And I ask right now that you anoint us fully so that we have the strength, Lord, to step out, so that we have the strength in that time and that place that you've called us to be the hope and the grace and the mercy, the healing touch, whatever it is, God, that you've called us to, so that we may have enough faith to step out for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.